Kubrinsky. Always wonderful to see you. Birchus Evelyn Bahar, who's here, representing... Yeah, and Rabbi Fulda, who's here as well. Great to see you. The Rebbetzin and the daughter, great to see everybody here, Baruch Hashem, for the annual Dr. Abraham S. and now Phyllis Weissman Memorial Rabbinical Lecture. Thank you very much. This is always one of the most interesting lectures of the year on some topic of medical ethics, usually medical halacha. And we have the pleasure this year of hearing from Avinoam Levin, who will speak on the topic of infertility treatment on Shabbos. Avinoam, thank you so much for your efforts in putting this together. Welcome to members of your family who are here, and we look forward to your shiur.
It's with tremendous trepidation and great honor that I've been chosen to represent the Kollel today. I would like to thank the Weissman family and Reitz for enabling me to learn in the Kollel and for the opportunity to address a serious issue that many people in our community are plagued with on a daily basis. It is an incredible honor for me to present in front of both Rav Schechter and my parents. In my community in Riverdale, and I know many other communities as well, there are support groups that are forming for people plagued with the issue of infertility. These groups are formed to help these people cope with the struggle of conceiving a child. For this reason, and since I'm learning both Hilchos Shabbos in the morning and Maseches Beitzah in the afternoon, I felt that it would be pertinent for us to analyze some of the laws pertaining to fertility treatment on Shabbos. As many of us know, there are four different categories of sick people on Shabbos. The first one, in Shulchan Aruch Shin Chav Ches Sif Aleph, is Mechish Ba'alma. What this means is that someone who's not feeling well, someone who's uncomfortable, for this person, you're not allowed to violate Shabbos at all, either on a rabbinic level or a biblical level, and you're not even allowed to take any sort of medication or do anything for this person to help in their, that's obviously for healing purposes. You're not even allowed to get a goy to help them, to violate Shabbos on their behalf. On the other extreme, we have a cholish yesh bo sakana, someone who is deathly ill. For this person, Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis says that not only are you permitted to violate Shabbos, but you're obligated to violate Shabbos, and if you don't, it's shvichas damim, you're a murderer. In the middle category, we have the middle category of a cholish yesh bo sakana. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Zayin defines this as a person who is no fellow mishkav, who is someone who falls into bed and is incapable of getting out of bed, but is not deathly ill. Is sick, but not deathly sick. So, Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to get a goy to violate Shabbos on this person's behalf, even for biblical prohibitions. So, but what about a Jew? What's a Jew allowed to do for this person? So, Shulchan Aruch has two different levels. If there's a sakanas aver, if there is a danger to a limb, then Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to violate rabbinic prohibitions in a normal manner, without a shinoi. However, if there is no sakana sever, then you are still allowed to violate rabbinic prohibitions, but it needs to be with a shinoi. So the question is, where does someone who's having difficulty conceiving a child, where does an infertile couple fall in? Which category does this couple fall into? So the Rosh Kollel of Schechter, He defines cholish yesh bo sakana as someone who is not functioning normally. So a normal way to function is to have children. Normal people have children. And therefore, he says that someone who can't have children is considered a cholish yesh bo sakana. What about sakana sever? He says, similarly, by sakana sever, that a normal functioning Avar of Leda, the uterus, the ovaries, they normally function by and are able to give birth, conceive. So therefore, if they're not functioning normally, it's considered Sakana Sever. So what this means for us is that an infertile couple is considered to be a chol shein bo sakana, sheyesh bo sakana sever, which means that you're allowed to violate rabbinic prohibitions without a shinoi in a normal manner on Shabbos for them. So for the sake, there are dissenting opinions, but for the sake of this year, we're in Rosh Chodesh Kolel, so we're going to follow his opinion. So before treatments actually start, we need to monitor when ovulation actually occurs. So in order to, because it's very possible that the couple is just not having relations at the proper time. For example, a religious couple, she might be in nidah when she's ovulating, and so they just don't have the opportunity to conceive. So the first step is to monitor. So one of the ways to do this is an ovulation prediction kit, a home ovulation prediction kit. So what this does is that before ovulation, in the body, the hormone levels of LH, luteinizing hormone, changes, it surges, it increases, and this surge causes ovulation to occur. So within 36 hours of this surge is the opportune time to conceive. So a home ovulation prediction kit, what it does is that you dip a strip, a chemical strip, into your urine, and it's able to determine if that surge has occurred. It monitors the level of LH in the body, in the urine. And what happens is that the strip turns a dark color, and that's when you know that this surge is there. So now, within 36 hours, that's the opportune time to conceive. The problem with this is soveya, coloring. The Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph says that is lists the avos malachos, some of the biblically prohibited actions on Shabbos, and one of the malachos in the list is soveya, is coloring. So this seems to be problematic. The Tzitz Eliezer, he focuses this problem when he quotes the Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Hamma Beis that says by a newlywed couple, the Gemara says, is a newlywed couple allowed to have their marital relations for the first time on Friday night, on Shabbos? What would be the problem? The Gemara says that it's potentially a problem of chabura. It's potentially a problem of making a wound on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, is it making a wound, or is it really just accessing a storage of blood? If it's accessing a storage of blood, then it's not problematic. And then it says, and even if you want to say that it's just getting into a storage of blood, is it l'dam hutzarth v'shari, that you really just want the blood and therefore it'd be mutter, it'd be allowed? Or do we say that it is l'pesach hutzarth, that he wants it for the opening, in which case it would be problematic? Rashi explains that the problem if you need it for the opening would be bone. So Tosis asks, what's the problem with, what exactly do you want the blood for? What's the Gemara saying, l'dam hutzarth v'shari? That it would be mutter, that it would be allowed, it would be permitted if you want the blood. So what do you want the blood for? So he gives two answers. First is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam answers that the reason you want the blood is really just because you don't want to, the next time you have relations, you don't want it to be dirty, you don't want it to be bloody, you just want to get rid of all the blood right now. The second answer in Tosos, that he wants the blood so this way he can see that she was a virgin. That he can see that this is the first time that she's ever had relations. And there's a gears in the Shitum Lukuretzes, which says laharos, not liros, which means to be able to show it to other people. To show the blood to other people. So the Prima Gadon in Mishpat Zav, Shin Lamed Aleph, says that we see that this is considered tzricha legufa, that the desire to want the blood to be able to see that she was a virgin or to be able to show it to other people is considered tzricha legufa. And now the Tzitz Eliezer connects that to tzoveya, that in the case where we have the urine test, where you want to see the color, even though it's for a different purpose, meaning that you want the color to see if she has enough LH now that we know that she's ovulating, same idea by the hymenal blood, that you want the blood to know that she was a basula, that she was a virgin. So this seems to be tzoveya shetzricha legufa, which would be a biblical prohibition. And therefore, even though we say that for an infertile couple that we would allow you to violate rabbinic prohibitions without a shinoi, still, this is biblically prohibited, and therefore there should be no leeway when it comes to taking this test on Shabbos. However, the Tzitz Eliezer continues, and he gives three kulas, three leniencies. The first one, he says that the Mishnah on Kuf Hei Amud Beis and Shabbos says that the shear, the minimal amount to be chayev for the prohibition of Tzoveya, is Kemale Rachav Hasit Kaful. And Rashi there explains that it's the distance between your middle finger and your pointer finger, which is basically like a tefach, and that's one seat. So you two of those kaful, so it's about two tefachim. The Rambam, who the Tzitz Eliezer seems to hold like, it says that the shear for Tzoveya in Tes Yud Gimel and Shabbos, he says that the shear for Tzoveya is four tefachim. So what that means, he says, is that, the Tzitz Eliezer says, is that really, the biblical prohibition is when you have four tefachim. This strip is much less, the coloring in the strip is less than four tefachim, and therefore it shouldn't be biblically prohibited. The problem is, and the Tzitz Eliezer is sensitive to this, is the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Mem, Sif Aleph, says that it's usur for you to cut two hairs on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah says, even though the Shulchan Aruch only says two hairs, that's when you're chayev, really, even one hair is asr as well, because chati shir asr min haTorah. That even less than the minimal amount is still going to be prohibited on Shabbos. The only difference is that if you do that amount, you're going to have to bring a korban, you're going to have to bring a chatas, a sacrificial offering. But less than that, while it's still prohibited, you don't have to bring the chatas. So this is problematic for us, because the Tzitz Eliezer says that even though it's not biblical, that he says that, oh, it's not the shear of Tzoveya, still, it still should be biblically prohibited, because Chachi Shear is also min haTorah. It's a biblical prohibition. So, as I said, the Tzitz Eliezer is sensitive to this, and he quotes that the Bir Halacha in Shin Mem quotes different shittos, he mentions different shittos that say that Chachi Shear is not also min haTorah. And because of this, we can rely on those shittos. The problem that I have with this is that if you look in the Bir Halacha is very, very clear that he concludes that he holds that Chati Shir is Aser Min HaTorah, that it is biblically prohibited. And even if you want to say that it's not biblically prohibited, if you look at that, he quotes the Ola Shabbos. The Ola Shabbos says that it's not even Aser at all. Ve'afilu Yisur Aleka, that there's no prohibition at all by Chati Shir by Shabbos. So, but if you look at this Ola Shabbos, he then says, V'tzarech Ian Ladina. So even the Ola Shabbos, who makes this claim, he's not sure about it. He doesn't seem to think that necessarily you can hold like this. However, famously, the Totzaos Chaim, Rav Menachem Zenba, he notes that there is a machlokas rishonim about Chati Shir Asur Min HaTorah or not by Shabbos, and he says that there's a Rashbam that says that Chati Shir is Asur Midrabanan on Shabbos, and so perhaps we could say within this Shita to be able to be makil for an imperial couple. The second kula in the Tzitz Eliezer is, again, from the Rambam. The Rambam in Tes Yud Gimel says that in order to be chai for Tzoveya, you need it to be miskayim. You need the coloring to last. But this coloring, he said, the Tzitz Eliezer claims that it doesn't even last an hour. So since it won't last, it won't be the biblical prohibition of Tzoveya. So the question is this true? Does the coloring really not last? So I actually went to Rite Aid and found a box of this ovulation test, and I got a number, and I called them this morning, and she said that if you don't read it within 10 minutes, then the coloring already becomes fuzzy and disappears. So it's a lot quicker than an hour that this coloring is disappearing. So it's really not permanent coloring. So it sounds like a very good leniency. The third kula, the Tzitz Eliezer in the Tzitz Eliezer, brings us to the Gemara in Ksuvos again. He says that we saw from the Ri that it's considered Sricha Legufa. That, and so he says, you know what, Ein HaKanami, it would be considered Tzoveya, the Malacha Shetzricha Legufa, and therefore maybe it should be biblically prohibited. However, this is not the Malacha of Tzoveya. Why? Why is it not the Malacha of Tzoveya? Because he says that Tzoveya is when I color something for the sake of coloring. That I'm doing it because I want this to be blue. But here, you're not coloring it because you want it to be a color. It's you're coloring it because you want the diagnosis. You want to know what the hormone levels are, what the LH levels in the body are. And therefore, he says that it's not even considered tovei at all. So we see that the Tzitz Eliezer gives three leniencies for why perhaps you could say that tzoveya, in the case of the urine test, would not be considered biblically prohibited, and therefore we would allow an infertile couple to be able to take these tests on Shabbos. So now we'll move on to treatment. So after monitoring is done and they realize the timing isn't really the issue, and they've already tried pills and pills don't work, doctors begin to start prescribing hormone injections. This is important because it helps the eggs develop properly, and it also can help ovulation occur. So a potential problem with these injections is the Isser of Chavala. So what's that mean? It means making a wound, causing someone to bleed. The Mishnah in Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph in Shabbos, first Mishnah in Shmona Shatzim, says that if you cause a wound to a sheretz, to a creeping animal like a mouse, then you are chayev. So why are you chayev? The Mishnah 9 Gimel that we noted before does not mention chavala as a av malacha, so why would you be chayev? So Rashi gives two explanations. Rashi on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph says, for his first explanation, that it's a told of shochet, that it's similar to slaughtering an animal. And Tosos supports this idea, and he calls it netilas neshama. And elsewhere, he says, what's netilas neshama? It's ki adam hu anefesh, that since blood is life, causing someone to bleed is killing them in a certain sense. And therefore, that would be the problem when you're wounding someone, when you're bruising someone, when you're causing someone to bleed. The second explanation in Rashi is soveya, which we just discussed when talking about monitoring, that really here what you're doing is when you hit someone or you hit this sheretz, that you're causing a discoloration, and this discoloration is the malach of tzoveya, is coloring. Interestingly, the Gemara on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph talks about why is shokei chayev, what's problematic with slaughtering, and the Gemara gives two suggestions. It says either netilas neshama or tzoveya. So we see that Rashi's two explanations come up from there, that there's what we understand. However, the Rambam has a totally different shita. The Rambam is not fazed by this Gemara Ayin Hey at all. He says that why is Chavala problematic? Chavala is problematic because of Mefarik, which is a told of Dash, in Ches Zayin, he says this. So he compares it to milking a cow. That when you milk a cow, you're causing a liquid to come out of a solid. So too, by chavala, you're causing the blood to come out of the person. That's considered mefarik, and therefore that's the reason you're going to be chayev. The Shulchan Aruch in Shinta Zayin Sif Ches quotes the case of sheretz. He says that if you wound a sheretz, and even if the blood doesn't come out, you're going to be chayev. Magen Avraham quotes all three shitos. So presumably, based on this Magen Avraham, who quotes Tzoveya and Netzilas Neshama and Mefarik, it would sound like we have to be choshesh, we have to be concerned for all the opinions. The Mishnah Berurah, however, seems to only really think he paskin that Netzilas Neshama is the real problem. However, in the Bir Halacha, he does quote Mefarik, he does discuss Mefarik a little bit as well. But he seems to ignore Tzoveya. But Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed, he says that although the Shulchan Aruch says this halacha by a sheretz, by something like a mouse, it applies to all animals and people as well. Anything that has skin, this din applies to. So what we see from here is that the Isser of Chavala means causing someone to bleed, that blood is very important in the Isser of Chavala. So now that takes us over to injections. There are three types of injections. There's subcutaneous, intramuscular, and intravenous, IV. So subcutaneous means that you're going under the skin. Intramuscular means that you're going into the muscle. And for both of these, the Birkas Banim says that not necessarily are you going to bleed. It's not, you don't necessarily need to bleed in order to give these injections. However, IV is the one injection that actually causes a much more serious problem. Why? Because IV is when you go into the vein. And when you go into the vein, what doctors or whoever is giving the injection they look for is they look for this flashback of blood, and this flashback of blood tells them that they got in the vein. They didn't miss the vein. If they don't see this, then they don't think they're in the vein. They're going to stick you again. So this tells us that you really, it seems like you need the blood, and therefore it should be a real problem of Kavala. And if it's a real problem of Kavala, then we would have it be biblically prohibited. And if it's biblically prohibited, then an infertile couple cannot administer to themselves an IV injection on Shabbos. The Tzitz Eliezer and Chelek. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, in Chelek Aleph, Perek Lamed Beis, Nunches, says what we would think. He says that IV injection is Aser Midoraisa, is biblically prohibited, and intramuscular and subcutaneous are not Aser Midoraisa. That's what he says. However, in the footnote, Ha'arach Kuf Nun Aleph, he says that there are Mekilim, that there are those who say that it's not, that IV is not Aser Midoraisa, is not biblically prohibited. So how could that be? So the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Ches, he says, he compares this blood that comes out, this flashback of blood, he compares it to digging a hole and only needing the dirt, which is the classic case of Malacha Shein Shei Gufa. So he thinks that since you don't really need the blood, you just want to know that you're in the right place, and since you don't need the blood, he thinks that it's a Malacha Shein Shei Gufa. So he goes through, he discusses this more thoroughly in Chelek Yod, Perakafe. He says that, so if we want to say that it's Malacha Shein Hatzricha L'Gufa, then this is still problematic for the Rambam. Because the Rambam paskens, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Malacha Shein Hatzricha L'Gufa is Chayev. It's biblically prohibited, even a Malacha Shein Hatzricha L'Gufa. If that's true, then you shouldn't be able to use IV on Shabbos. So he says, no. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam, Parakhes Halacha Zayin, says that that Chaval is problematic because of Mefarik. And Mefarik is, the shear of Mefarik is Igrogeres, the size of a fig. And this flashback is not that much blood, and therefore it's less than the shear, so it shouldn't be, it's Chatzi shear, the same idea that we said before, that, and he's assuming that Chatzi shear is not going to be biblically prohibited. So according to this, we would say that an infertile couple, even according to the Rambam, should be able to use IV injection on Shabbos. But then he says this might be considered Tzricha L'Gufa. Why? He takes us back to that Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Hei Amud Beis, the Re there, and the Prima Gadim, that says that, no, if we see that you need the blood, even if you have some other intention for it, it still should be considered Tzricha L'Gufa. Liros es Adam, or Laharos es Adam, if you want to see the blood, or you want the hymenal blood, or you want to show it to other people, it still should be considered Tzricha L'Gufa. So too here, even though you really want to see the blood only because you want to know you're in the right place, still, it's considered Tzricha L'Gufa. So he says no. And then the Shmir Shabbos quotes of Shlomo Zalman also has this idea. He says no. In the case of the hymenal blood, you really want to see the blood. The blood itself is what you want. You want to be able to show it to other people. You want to be able to see it yourself. But in the case of the IV injection, you don't want the blood. You don't care about the blood. It's really just an indication that you're in the right place. I'm not so sure about this, because if you look in the Re himself, in Tosos and Ksuvot Daf Hamad Beis, he says, V'ri mefarish, l'dam utzarech shetzarech liros im hi besula. He says, shetzarech liros im hi besula. Meaning what? Meaning that he wants to know if she's a basula. So if that, the tzricha l'gufa seems to be that he wants to know that she's a basula, not that he wants to have the blood itself, that the blood itself is so important. But at the end of the day, Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Tzitz Eliezer both say this, and so according to that idea, we would be able to allow IV injections for an infertile couple on Shabbos. However, Rav Neubert and Shmir Shabbos Kelkasa, in that same Ha'ara Kuf Nun Aleph, and also, as we said earlier, in Nun Ches, Os Nun Ches, he basically seems to think that really no, IV is IV is asur midoraisa, is biblically prohibited, and therefore there really is no way to be lenient when it comes to administering IV on Shabbos for an infertile couple. So moving on to subcutaneous and intramuscular injections. So the Birkas Banim says that, as we noted before, that not necessarily is blood going to come out, and therefore it won't be asur midoraisa. But what if blood does come out? So he says, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pei Dalet Amud Beis, which says that on Shabbos, if there's a thorn in someone, you're allowed to pull it out, you're allowed to pull it off because it's a malacha shein atzricha legufa. That's what the Gemara says. So the Birkas Banim says, shouldn't this be a psik reisha? Isn't this problematic? The person's going to bleed. So he says, doesn't matter. We see from this Gemara, it doesn't seem to matter that since you don't need the blood, and the Mishnah Berurah says, mekalka b'chabura is pater, that since you don't need the blood at all, unlike IV, where there is some reason for you to need the blood, here you have no intention to see the blood, and you don't need the blood at all, and the blood serves no purpose for you, all it's doing is just some sort of damage, then it would not be asur midoraisa. So both subcutaneous and intramuscular injections, provided that you don't need the blood, which you don't in these cases, they would not be asur midoraisa, and therefore you should be allowed to administer them on Shabbos for an infertile couple. It's important to note that the Birkas Banim says that we generally try to schedule things so that treatments should not need to be done on Shabbos. That it's important to try to lichachila make sure that you don't need to use any of these treatments on Shabbos. So he gives a suggestion for how to do this. That the injections have to be given at the same time every day, around the same time every day. So he says that what a person should do is that they should give themselves the injection by shkia every day. So this way, on Friday, she could give it to herself right before Shabbos. And then Motzei Shabbos, Saturday night, right after Shabbos, she could give the injection, and this way avoid giving it to herself on Shabbos at all, and she's only deviating from her schedule very slightly, so this way you could avoid giving any treatments on Shabbos. So just to review everything that we've done, so we started with that there are four different categories of a chola, of a sick person. We said that Rav Shechter holds that an infertile couple would be considered chola she'embo sakana with a sakanas aver, and therefore you should be able to violate rabbinic prohibitions in a normal manner without doing a shinoi. And therefore, in monitoring, when we monitor with a home ovulation test kit, there's a potential problem of tzoveya. However, the tzitz Eliezer has three leniencies. Either it's eino miskayim, it's not going to last, or it's less than the shear of tzoveya, or he says that it's not even considered tzoveya at all, and therefore, for an infertile couple, they should be able to use these types of kits on Shabbos. We then came over to treatments. We said that injecting yourself, there are three types of injections, that IV, subcutaneous, and intramuscular. And intramuscular and subcutaneous are less problematic than IV because you don't need the blood for that. They serve no purpose at all. And therefore, however, IV is going to be more problematic. And according to the Tzitz Eliezer, we could be lenient in the case of IV. But the Shmira Shabbos, the Rem Neuber, seems to be more machmir, and he thinks no, IV is considered a biblical prohibition, and therefore you can't use it at all on Shabbos. We noted that the Birkas Banim says that we should try to avoid any treatment on Shabbos at all. So our hope is that as medical technology advances, with the correct halakhic guidance, we can live in a world where infertility will become exceedingly rare. Thank you.
Any questions?
You can do it after. Should I turn this off?
Any questions? No, we all got it 100%. Good.